You know that feeling you get when your favorite show has been off the air for quite a bit of time, and then one day, like Christmas morning, it magically and wonderfully appears? Howdy, Stardusties. We hope you have those special tinglies right now, because we're back after an extended hiatus. Today's episode is brought to you by the Skinwalker Ranch, also known as Sherman Ranch, also known as the UFO Ranch. But we're going to talk about why! Hooray!
For the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Guess who's back? Back again. Exy's back. Tell your friends. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Banana. Nah, nah, nah. Warm welcome, Stardusties. Tis I, your barista of the Bermuda Triangle. Exy. You know, space pirate, star queen, princess of the universe. No big deal. But welcome back, little Stardusties. If you're just tuning in, lucky you. You are now my Stardusty. But we're back after an extended hiatus. I'll spare you the details, but the initial reason for the extended hiatus was technical difficulties. But I've missed you each and every single day. And some of you have missed me. I was checking the analytics on this, and Star Queen Paranormal is still getting a bunch of listens. So if you're new here, or if you joined me sometime during the hiatus, warm welcome to you. So how much has your world changed since May? Mine is, well, I want to say the same, but it certainly doesn't feel that way, does it? I guess sometimes nothing has to change for everything to feel like it has changed. Yeah, I don't really know what I meant by that either. As promised in the teaser last week, I'm going to try and streamline these episodes just a little bit to make it easier for me to edit and for you to listen to. Star Queen Paranormal is now streamlined for your listening pleasure. But part of your new streamlined experience means that I am going to shuffle and pull cards off the air. I know some of you will miss that ASMR experience of me shouting at the microphone while I shuffle in funny voices, but I think we all get the gist of Terrible Tarot now.
And Red Puppet says he's not going anywhere.
That's right, folks. You're still going to have to deal with the weird voices. Just not while I'm shuffling. Maybe I might bring it back. I liked that for me. Anyway, with the amount of time I just spent explaining that I'm not going to be shuffling, I actually probably could have shuffled and it wouldn't have made a difference. But your cards for today are Temperance, Five of Cups, and Four of Wands. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. The universe is asking that you give yourself a little bit more balance and patience right now. The cards are also asking that you stop focusing so much on what isn't going for you and start paying more attention to the things that are good that's happening in your life. Because once you learn to be grateful for the good things happening for you, you'll have many reasons to celebrate. And it is a collective reading, but I am seeing that a bunch of Stardusties are going to have reasons to celebrate really soon. So weddings, parties, gatherings and get-togethers. I know for a lot of listeners, it is the time of year for gatherings and get-togethers. The cards are asking you to remain grateful through it all, because it seems like you have plenty to look forward to. And if you start seeing things that way instead of what you don't have to look forward to, maybe your perspective will change.
And that was truly terrible.
Speaking of focusing on the good things, being away for an extended hiatus means that I've got a whole handbag of high strangeness. Ooh, I'm adding that to my next intro, I think.
Star Queen Paranormal, your handbag of high strangeness.
Print it, put it on a shirt. Well, let me make sure I didn't steal that first. But in my handbag of high strangeness, that has collected dust over the months, we got some juicy alien news. Well, not alien aliens. The proper term is non-human biologics. And I think the reason they worded it that way is because we don't actually know if they're extraterrestrial or not. One of the whistleblowers who, whistleblowed, was hinting that perhaps they were from another dimension. I've also heard theories that perhaps the non-human biologics are actually from the future. And of course, we all know that the theory could also be that they might be beings from inside the hollow earth. If you ascribe to that theory. We're Star Queen Paranormal. We're weird. We're not going to judge you for believing that.
We'll judge you for a lot of other things.
Just kidding. Maybe. The bizarre headline, though, from July 27th, 2023, and there are many articles, but this one is from NPR. U.S. recovered non-human biologics from UFO crash sites, former intel official says. Three military veterans testified in Congress's highly anticipated hearing on UFOs, including a former Air Force intelligence officer who claimed the U.S. government has operated a secret, multi-decade reverse engineering program of recovered vessels. He also said the U.S. has recovered non-human biologics from alleged crash sites. There were calls to remove the stigma for aviators who report UAP sightings. And UAP is the new UFO. Unidentified aerial phenomenon. But remove the stigma to ensure oversight of government programs that investigate them. Retired Major David Grush, who went from being part of the Pentagon's UAP task force to becoming a whistleblower, told the House Oversight Committee's National Security Subcommittee that he had been denied access to some government UFO programs, but that he knows the exact locations of UAP in U.S. possession. Defense Department spokeswoman Susan Goff issued a statement saying the Pentagon's inquiries had not turned up any verifiable information to substantiate claims that any programs regarding the possession or reverse engineering of extraterrestrial materials have existed in the past or exist currently. But if you're interested, that article was from July 27th, and there are other sources, not just NPR. Which is interesting because a few weeks later, Mexico had their disclosure event where they also discussed non-human biologic recoveries. I might cover that next episode. But truthfully, if you've been listening to the show for a bit, I doubt you're surprised at the news that aliens are probably real. Because isn't it always aliens? Speaking of it always being aliens, today's episode will be about the Skinwalker Ranch. I hesitated to do this episode in the first season. Yes, seasons. I definitely meant to have seasons. That's not just because of a hiatus or anything. Definitely a season. Anyway, I meant to get to the Skinwalker Ranch in the first season, but I hesitated because there is some cultural sensitivity to the term skinwalker. And if you do any research on the topic of skinwalkers, you'll see that it's kind of a not well understood legend because it's a Navajo belief and it's not something that's meant to be talked about. So if you look it up, you'll see people call it flesh pedestrians or fleshy boys. I'm going to use the word skinwalker because of the name of the ranch, because it helps people who are looking up Skinwalker Ranch find information on Skinwalker Ranch. But we're not actually talking about skinwalkers per se. We're talking about a plot of land in Utah. A weird plot of land in Utah. And there might be skinwalkers. And aliens. Which is how it tied to the headline earlier. Because it's always tied to aliens. Maybe.
As I was saying a moment ago, there's a strong belief that talking about a skinwalker, using the term skinwalker, draws them out. Draws them to you. So, with that in mind, as much as I would love to call them flesh pedestrians, I assure you that I will take every precaution that I know of. Skinwalker Ranch, also known as Sherman Ranch, is located in Wantanab Basin, Utah. It is a 512-acre property tucked away in the northeast corner of Utah. And these days, it is known to be a hot spot for high strangeness. Stories of paranormal encounters, including many UFO sightings in the area, date back to the 1970s. Some sources claim the area of northeast Utah can actually claim strange occurrences as far back as the 1770s. But the ranch itself wasn't well known until the 90s. Native American legends claimed that it was home to skinwalkers, that the land itself was in the path of the skinwalker. At this point in the episode, if you've never heard of them, you're probably wondering, well, what is a skinwalker? The skinwalker legend is a Navajo belief. They are believed to be harmful witches that have the ability to possess or disguise themselves as an animal. And I did take this information straight from Wikipedia, so this is probably bottom-of-the-barrel knowledge as far as this topic goes. The Navajo word they use for it, not skinwalker, it's something else, translates to by means of it. It goes on all fours. In 1994, the ranch was purchased by Gwen and Terry Sherman with the intention of settling down and relaxing in their new country home. The previous owners, Kenneth and Edith Myers, had owned the ranch from 1934 to 1994, but they had abandoned the ranch several years prior. But the Shermans found that there was a strange clause in their contract that stated that they had to ask the Myers family for permission before digging on the property. When the Shermans moved in, they immediately noticed peculiar things about this home. The doors and windows had been bolted shut. Not only that, many of the rooms had locks from the inside. The Shermans would later come to understand exactly why those bolts and locks were there. Perhaps for a time, everything seemed peaceful. The Shermans lived their lives raising livestock and running the ranch. But it wasn't long after they moved in when the first incident occurred. Their first official welcome to their ranch was when they noticed a large canine in the distance approaching the house. As it got closer to the home, they realized this canine was huge, and it looked to be a wolf. Some sources say it was 2 to 3 times bigger than the size of a standard wolf. However, the wolf seemed tame, so much so that the Shermans confessed they absentmindedly reached their hands out to pet this great big wolf. And it seemed peaceful until it noticed one of their calves. The story goes that it started to attack one of the calves, and the family tried to thwart the wolf away to no avail. I believe they said that they started to pull on it, push it. When the wolf did not relent, Terry Sherman shot the wolf 3 times. The creature was unfazed. It didn't even flinch. The creature did stop and stare at the family. That's when Terry shot it 3 more times. I think my source says that it was with a pistol the first 3 shots. One of the shots was a shotgun. The wolf did not seem weakened at all by these gunshots. It did eventually run off into the forest. Terry and his son chased after the wolf, but it was much too fast for them. They followed wolf tracks, but those wolf tracks seemed to disappear, and they couldn't find the wolf. Over the next few weeks, the Sherman family would see more strange wolf-like creatures. However, the sightings of these wolves would soon stop. The wolf sightings stopped. The Shermans noticed heavy farm equipment would go missing. A lot of the farm equipment would turn up in unusual locations. One of the items that went missing was a 70-pound tool that Terry found 20 feet up in a tree. The Shermans also claimed to have seen strange objects in the sky, and they noted that the objects in the sky would glow and behave rather oddly.
Then throughout the following winter... Throughout the following winter, the Shermans would begin to notice their cattle going missing. And when they'd try and track their cattle, the hoof prints seemed to mysteriously vanish, just like the wolf tracks did. Now, some of their missing cattle they would find in the spring. Corpses, of course. But according to the Shermans, the corpses would have no blood on them, have entire pieces missing with precise cuts, almost as if the body parts had been surgically removed. The Shermans also noticed that these cattle incidents would happen when Terry would see the yellow lights in the sky and bad weather the night before. But these were amongst the first of many strange incidents the Shermans encountered. During their 2-year stay in the ranch, the Shermans claimed to have seen many unexplainable events. This piece was in one of the documentaries I watched on this ranch. There was a strange incident where several of the cows went missing and later turned up in a locked nearby building. And, of course, I wasn't able to find the documentary to rewatch it to make sure, but it was locked and it was really difficult for cows to climb into. Highly improbable that they got there by themselves. The Shermans claimed to have seen orbs regularly and several UFOs. They also experienced regular crop circles and poltergeist activity in the house part of the ranch. And it just seemed that not a day would go by without something strange happening. The Shermans reported that they would often hear disembodied voices speaking directly above them. And on many occasions, the night sky would randomly light up. The Shermans also noticed what they call portals opening up over the ranch. They said that one night they were watching one of the weird lights in the sky, and I think it was Terry who realized that on the other side of the light, like he could see through the light, and it looked to be somewhere with daylight, even though it was night where they were. Like he noticed that there was sunlight coming from these portals. But they noticed the portals a few times, and they claimed that they have seen creatures climb out from these portals and scurry off into the woods. One night, a blue orb showed up on their land, which by this time wasn't really new for them. But the blue orb seemed to taunt Terry's dogs, and then it shot off into the forest. Three of the Shermans' dogs chased after the orb into the forest nearby. The dogs were chasing after the light and barking. Terry says that after the dogs disappeared into the underbrush, he heard them all simultaneously yelp, and then there was silence. The dogs never returned home that night. The next day, Terry tries to track where the dogs had gone, and he was able to track their path through the woods until he came to a place that had scorched earth, like little burn marks in the ground, and there were strange, greasy piles of sludge. Three greasy piles of sludge. Terry assumed that these were the charred remains of his dogs. It was as though something had vaporized them. But as you can imagine, after the incident with the dogs, the Shermans finally had enough and noped out of there. Now, they had reported some of these stories to the local newspaper, so the Sherman Ranch gained quite a reputation in the paranormal community. Someone named Robert Bigelow became interested in researching the paranormal at this ranch. He bought the land from the Shermans for less than what the Shermans paid. Now, Bigelow put together a team of scientists to research the paranormal incidents, including famous journalist George Knapp, and Terry Sherman, the previous owner, would often tag along to show them where his stories had taken place. The team of researchers also included scientists of a variety of backgrounds. And on the first day of investigating, the team would find some deceased cows, the burnt circles of grass where Terry's dogs were presumed to be, and many holes in the ground. One night early on in the investigation, a few team members saw a bright light hovering above the trees for about 10 minutes before moving around in the sky. And the team did take pictures. They took photographs. But they say that the photographs didn't really convey just how bright this light really was. On March 10th, 1997, the team discovered a calf with its organs, blood, and much of its body removed. The strange part about this calf was that it was seen alive just 45 minutes earlier. Some nights later, they would see a large animal staring at them in the trees. This animal seemed to be about 400 pounds. They would eventually encounter this strange creature again, and Terry shot at this creature point blank, but it just disappeared. The last major incident on the ranch happened on August 26th, 1997. One of the researchers had heard that meditation would cause incidents to happen on the ranch, so they decided to test this theory. I think maybe they meditated and they observed a yellow light in the distance. One of those researchers claimed that a large tunnel opened up out of the ground and a large, black, human-like creature emerged. The creature would run off into the darkness, never to be seen again. But another witness to the same situation claimed that it was just the yellow light and they didn't observe the tunnel or the creature. Over the next few years, fewer and fewer incidents would occur on the ranch. And in 2002, the investigation would officially end. Shortly after that investigation ended, the government-funded Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program began investigating the ranch. The AAWSAP investigation lasted from 2008 to 2010. Most of that investigation remains classified to this day, but Robert Bigelow would sell the ranch in 2016 to a real estate developer who gathered together a team of investigators to continue investigating to this day. According to the Skinwalker Ranch official website, skinwalker-ranch.com, the Skinwalker Ranch is recognized as the most scientifically studied paranormal hotspot on the planet. It is a 512-acre secure site that has been monitored for decades with armed security and surveillance. The remote location was involved with a Pentagon-funded black budget project studying UFO activity, cattle mutilations, and strange phenomena. And it is known as a living laboratory for studying other intelligences and possible interdimensional phenomena. The Skinwalker Ranch website also mentions that it is closed to the public. If you would like more information on the UFO ranch, the Skinwalker Ranch, there is a series. I think it's a History Channel series. I think it's also on Netflix. That's called The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. There was a 2018 documentary that included George Knapp, and it's based on the book by George Knapp and Dr. Colm Kelleher. That book and documentary is called Hunt for the Skinwalker. And there are surprisingly a few more series and documentaries and books. But yeah, that's the Skinwalker Ranch. I think I mispronounced the location, the area that the ranch is in. I'm going to try it one more time. Uinta, according to my proper search. So the Skinwalker Ranch is in Uinta County, Utah. So, what do you think, Stardusties? Do you think this 512-acre ranch is a hotspot of paranormal activity? Do you believe the Shermans and the researchers following the Shermans? Or perhaps do you believe that maybe it was sensationalized? Maybe they just have really big wolves out there. Maybe they believe they saw something. And maybe the researchers have clouded judgment because they knew what to expect, or kinda knew what to expect. What do you think? Do you have any paranormal stories you'd like to share with us? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. I've got to verify that email address is still working. It should be fine. I just logged in. But check us out at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram. Toss a coin to your Star Queen at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. I need to verify that launches before the episode does. So if it's not available to donate, give me a nudge and I'll remember to load that back up. I'm also thinking of starting a Buy Me a Coffee. I think the link will be buymeacoffee.com/starqueenparanormal. So check for that. If that's not up yet, that I haven't been a good noodle, but I will try to be a good noodle before this episode airs. And so, Stardusties, remember to hydrate and practice self-love. Remember to take mindful breaths. Remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.